The 16th chapter of Joshua begins the story of the settlement of the territory given to the children of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. It gives the more particular details of that portion given to Ephraim, while the 17th chapter deals more with the territory given to Manasseh. The first four verses of this chapter outlines the boundaries of the total territory given to these two tribes. The first verse says, "And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho under the water of Jericho on the east to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel." And then we skip on down to the fourth verse, which says, "So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance." Now, although Joseph was one of the younger sons of Jacob, yet he was his eldest son by his best beloved wife, Rachel. And he himself was his best beloved son, and had been the greatest ornament and support of his family. He was the one who kept the family from perishing in a time of famine. He had been the shepherd and stone of Israel, and therefore his posterity, his two sons, were very much favored by the lot that they received. Their portion lay in the very heart of the land of Canaan. It extended from the Jordan River on the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, so that it took up the whole breadth of Canaan from side to side. And there's no question about the fruitfulness of the soil as given in the blessings both of Jacob and Moses as they bless these two sons. Let us again read an account of that blessing given by Jacob in Genesis 49, verses 22 through 26. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." So we see here where Jacob pronounces great blessings upon these sons of Joseph. They're going to be blessed with the blessings of heaven above and of the deep that lieth under, and blessings of the breast and of the womb. And these blessings, he says, of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. So this was to be a very fruitful land given to these children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Again, we find the blessing given by Moses to these tribes in Deuteronomy 33, beginning with the 13th verse and going through the 17th verse. "And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstlings of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh." So these tribes were to be greatly blessed, and they were, just as Judah was given the prime territory in the southern kingdom. These two sons of Joseph were given the prime territory in the northern kingdom, carved out of the very heart of the land, and according to these blessings pronounced upon them by both Jacob and Moses, they were to be in a very advantageous position. These portions that were allotted to Ephraim and Manasseh are not so in detail described as those given to the other tribes. We have only the limits and the boundaries of their territory, and not the individual cities that were located there, as we had given of the tribe of Judah, and as are named afterwards of the other tribes. We do not know exactly the reason why the names of the cities of these tribes are omitted. Some of the scholars have postulated that it's possible that since Joshua himself was a member of this tribe of Ephraim, that maybe it was left up to him then to assign the cities, and consequently it didn't come before this council of the elders to do so, and since it was an individual matter that Joshua took care of, it wasn't then recorded in the history of those two tribes. Now, verses 5 through 10 in this 16th chapter of Joshua have to do with the giving of the borders of the lot of Ephraim in particular. Since these verses are just filled primarily with names of the boundaries, we're not going to read the entire text of these six verses. Those who try to be very exact concerning the boundaries of this lot of Ephraim find themselves very much at a loss due to the fact that the description is very short and intricate that we find here. But let us suffice it to say that the borders of this tribe consisted of the Jordan River on the east, the Mediterranean Ocean on the west. To the south, it bordered with the tribes of Benjamin and Dan, who lay between it and Judah. And on the north, it bordered with the tribe of Manasseh. In verse 9, he says, "And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages." So what this verse is really probably saying is that some of the cities that went to the tribe of Ephraim were actually located in the territory of Manasseh, but yet they were controlled by this tribe of Ephraim. And this probably indicates that at the time of this inheritance, the tribe of Ephraim was becoming more numerous and the tribe of Manasseh was becoming less numerous. When the tribes were numbered on the plains of Moab, Manasseh really outnumbered Ephraim. Manasseh was then 52,000 and Ephraim was but 32,000. This is according to Numbers 26 verses 34 and 37. Yet by the time they were well settled in Canaan, it seems that the hands were crossed again and the blessing of Moses was verified so that Ephraim would then outnumber Manasseh. As Moses said, there are 10,000 of Ephraim and there are thousands of Manasseh. So it seems that some of these cities that were actually located in the territory of Manasseh were allowed to be controlled by the tribe of Ephraim, as they would have had a greater need. So as we look at history, we see that families and kingdoms are diminished and increased and then increased and diminished again as God pleases. In verse 10, we do have a stigma put upon the Ephraimites. He says, "And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute." Now that's really about all that we know about this, and there's been several theories as to exactly what did happen. First of all, we don't know why they didn't drive the Canaanites out. We do know that God gave them the command and obliged them to utterly drive out the Canaanites and to make no peace with them. They were not to make any covenants with them. But for some reason or other, they did allow the Canaanites to dwell in Gezer, and they let them serve under tribute. That is, they became their slaves. Now, some say that this was certainly bad because it showed that they did forego following all the commands of God for a covetous purpose, that is, so that they could use them as their tributaries or their servants. Others say the fact that they made them tributaries means that they forced them to get rid of their idolatrous gods, and so that they could then be true proselytes to the Israelite religion. And it's quite possible that they did have this in mind of making the Canaanites renounce their idols and to observe the rules then that would apply to the sons of Noah. However, we do know that as we read further in the history of the Israelites, that they were so far from restraining idolatry in others that they soon fell into it themselves. They soon fell victim to the practice of these nations round about them, just as God was afraid they would do if they did not completely separate themselves from these idolatrous people. We have many famous places that were found to be within the tribe of Ephraim that are not recorded at this place. In it were Ramah, which was Samuel's city. This city is called in the New Testament Arimathea, and it's the place from which Joseph was that took care of our Savior's burial. Also, we have here Shiloh, where the tabernacle was first set up. Tirzah was located in this tribe, and it was the royal city of Jeroboam and his successors. And Deborah's palm tree, on which he judged Israel, was also in this tribe. Samaria, built by Omri after the burning of the royal palace at Tirzah, was in this tribe and was long the royal city of the kingdom and of the 10 tribes. Not far from it was Shechem, and also the mountains of Ebal and Gerizim, and Sychar, near which was Jacob's well, where Christ talked with the woman of Samaria. In the book of Judges, we read much of Mount Ephraim, and also of a city called Ephraim. And in John 11, verse 54, we read of Christ retiring from public view. He says, "Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples." So it is probably within the bounds of this tribe to which Christ went at that time. Also, we find that the whole kingdom of the 10 tribes is often called in the prophets, especially in the book of Hosea, Ephraim. The name Ephraim is used to indicate all the northern 10 tribes of Israel. So it was a very predominant and powerful tribe of Israel. Now we begin the 17th chapter of Joshua. And in this chapter we have the giving of the lot to the tribe of Manasseh, which was the other son of Joseph. Whereas in the previous chapter we had the giving of the lot to the tribe of Ephraim. Verse 1, "There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh,